You may also be wondering what this particular scripture has to do with Advent. And honestly, I wondered the same thing myself. It's one of the scriptures that's listed for this particular Sunday in the Revised Common Lectionary. And the lectionary lists all the Sunday readings for the entire church year in 3-year cycles. And for this Sunday, it was Matthew chapter 11, 2 through 11. And this didn't seem like a typical Advent or Christmas time reading. No star, no angel, no wise men. It's Jesus and John the Baptist as adults. But there are Advent elements to be found. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the end of John's. It's a transition between beginning and end, old and new, and waiting and action. The lives of Jesus and John the Baptist have been tied together since well before their births. As far back as the prophet Isaiah, who spoke about a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make the paths straight." In fact, Matthew, in his writings, when you look at the gospel, he refers to the prophets and to Deuteronomy repeatedly in order to connect the dots for readers between the prophecies of old and what came to pass with the death and resurrection of the Messiah. John was that voice in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he pulled no punches when it came to repentance. He was not a timid man. He called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees and pushed them to produce fruit consistent with repentance. Just because you hold a particular position does not exempt you from repentance. John also got on the bad side of Herod by criticizing Herod's marriage to his brother's wife and calling on Herod to also repent. Yet people came for miles to confess their sins and be baptized in the Jordan River. And he said the one coming after him would baptize them with Holy Spirit and fire. The one whose sandals he was not fit to untie. He spent his life serving as the messenger of the Messiah, never wavering in his certainty that the one was coming. And then when Jesus comes to the Jordan River, John knows who he is. John asks to be baptized, and John says, "I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus tells him, "This is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." It was part of the divine plan, part of preparing the way. So the messenger baptized the Messiah in the Jordan. Their births were foretold by the angel Gabriel, if you look in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and John were born to women who faced scorn. Elizabeth, John's mother, was unable to bear children, and that was considered shameful. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin and unmarried. Also a shameful situation. But in both cases, they also trusted God's will and obeyed the plan. Advent is known as a time of waiting and anticipating, much like what the people of Israel had done for centuries, waiting on the one, the Messiah who was going to change everything. Advent is also a beginning, the start of the church's new year. And here in Matthew's gospel, we find a new Advent, a new beginning, the transition from the old with the prophecies and the preaching of John the Baptist to the new with the presence of the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ. John finds himself doing his waiting in prison. And with the waiting, it seems like some doubts have had time to grow. He'd been praising and preaching and living a life of simplicity and righteousness because he believed in God and was moved by the Holy Spirit to fulfill his calling. And when you read John's words, he is a bit of a fire and brimstone preacher. And John, like a lot of people, was expecting a fire and brimstone Messiah who would reclaim Israel and restore it to its former glory. He urges repentance because the Messiah is coming with a winnowing shovel, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn, and the chaff will be cast into a fire that never goes out. And here comes the Messiah with promises of grace and forgiveness and mercy. So John, maybe, is starting to wonder if he got it wrong. Even though he was there at the baptism, and he's been so sure this entire time. And don't we all feel like that sometimes? We sometimes go through periods of doubt after periods of absolute certainty. A job that seems so perfect, and 6 months into it, you're exhausted and you think, this place is toxic and these people are crazy and I need the money now, what do I do? A relationship seems like a fairy tale, but then in a year or two or five, you start to wondering if you'd imagined it. How did things get so difficult? You're able to praise God when everything is going right and you believe that God has plans for you, but when it's not going as you expected or as quickly as you'd expected, you wonder if, in your humanness, maybe you misunderstood God's call or if God really loves you. We all want to be sure, and even the most faithful have questions. Sometimes we want proof. When the Messiah was born in the stable, people went to see for themselves if, in fact, there was a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in the manger. John wanted a little reassurance. So he sends his own disciples to see Jesus and ask him point blank, are you the one we've been waiting for? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else? And Jesus, full of mercy and grace, did not rebuke John or criticize him for questioning. He simply told John's disciples to report to him what they had seen. The deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the blind can see, and the poor are told the good news. There's John's reassurance. Jesus may not have been the Messiah that John was expecting, but yes, he is the Messiah, the one he'd been waiting for. Jesus then gives John a blessing. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. In this context, if you look at the Greek root, offense is a stance of unbelief. John had questions because this was not the Messiah he was picturing. So he went right to the source, and Jesus blesses John nonetheless for having enough faith to ask the questions. And then Jesus asks the crowd around him why they went out in the wilderness to see John in the first place. A reed swayed by the wind? Now, a reed swayed by the wind is unsteady and easily moved. John was very steadfast in his faith and in his beliefs and in his purpose. He was not a prophet of the palace, surrounded in luxury. John lived with very little, and he left himself open to the direction of the Holy Spirit. He set himself apart for God. And Jesus says, no one born of women is greater than John the Baptist, but that the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than he. Now that sounds a little bit like a put down, but it's not. John the Baptist was the last of his kind. He was an old school, Old Testament prophet. He was the messenger of the Messiah. Now that the Messiah has come, and the Messiah is the messenger of the new covenant, John's time's about done. John did great things, but those who will witness to the miracles and sacrifice of Jesus, all of these things that are to come, the witnesses and their testimony will be greater still. And then there's that new covenant. The amazing grace and mercy of God is made known by the Messiah. And the Messiah was announced by the messenger. Distant cousins, both of whom were made known to their mothers and fathers through the presence of an angel. And born just about 9 months apart. But their coming of the messenger and the Messiah, Jesus and John, had been spoken of by Isaiah many, many years before. And here we are in the Christmas season, the season of Advent and a time of joy. And we look around us and, like John, we question, where is the peace? Where is the hope? Where is joy? Why is there so much going wrong in the world? We're waiting, Messiah. Where are you? John, in Herod's prison, has a lot of time to think and time to doubt and time to ask questions. And then in that quiet, he has time to internalize the answers, to recognize the evidence that even though this is not the Messiah he'd pictured, Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe things are not going as we'd pictured, but Jesus is among us and with us, working through us and working through others. And that baby in the manger, this was not the Messiah that a lot of people had pictured, but Jesus is the Messiah. Amen.